Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue to examine the text in Galatians 5:14 concerning the law of love. And here Paul says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We left the broadcast on Friday talking about the meaning of love, and that's explained by looking at the preceding verse, which says, "But through love serve one another." And then verse 14, the one we're looking at now, says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And that connecting word "for" tells us that there is a further explanation of what has been said previously. And so putting it all together, we realize that the basic meaning of love is serving one another. That's the point. Through love, serve one another. "For all the love is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so we realize that biblical love is more a decision to act in the best interests of the other person than it is an emotion or a feeling. Now, it's certainly helpful when you have a kind emotional feeling toward the person that needs help. But we so often equate the feeling with love and forget that love in the Bible is more action than it is feeling. Love is an action verb. We can see that maybe more clearly in that well-known text in John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." You see, the action. God so loved the world that he gave. What is that? That's God acting in the best interests of the people in the world that he loved. Seeing our need and knowing how to meet the need, he gave his son. That's true love. He so loved that he gave. And that's the idea here. Through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so biblical love is a decision to act in the best interest of others. It is more volitional than emotional. Now, before I move on to the object of love, namely our neighbor, let me also point out one little detail here that I think deserves to be mentioned. And again, I'm reading the text, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this," quote, "you shall love your neighbor as yourself." One word, quote, "you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, we realize that the word, the one word that is in view here, is a sentence made up of a number of words. In the English, I'll have to count it here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. I don't have the Greek in front of me, so I can't tell you what the Greek is. And, of course, the Greek is a quotation from the Old Testament Hebrew, and that might be a different number of words yet. But in every language, this sentence is comprised of a number of words, plural, and yet the text calls it one word. Now, what are we to make of that? Well, it's really not that big a deal, but I think the point needs to be made that one word in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean one word. It means one statement. We sometimes talk about the seven words from the cross. Have you ever heard that phrase? Speaking about the different statements that Christ made upon the cross. And by the way, when we say it that way, the seven words from the cross, now we're not even quoting Scripture, but we're using the word in exactly the way we find it in Galatians 5:14, which is proof that this is not an illegitimate or uncommon way to use this phrase, one word, meaning one statement. The seven sayings from Christ of Christ from the cross are the seven statements that he made, such as, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's one word, one statement. Behold your mother, and woman, behold your son, when he committed the care of his mother to John. That's one word, one statement from the cross. So you get the idea. And so please just keep that in mind. And the point being also, here's probably the more important point in it all, that so much of the Bible cannot be pressed to the most literal meaning possible, or it ends up with nonsense. Now, I know we're getting into interpretive and hermeneutical and theological questions here, but the longer I study the Bible and the more I try to help people to study and understand the Bible, the more important I realize this issue is. It is true that there is in history a stream of interpretation that is entirely fanciful and takes far too much liberty with the words of Scripture and turns the meaning into nonsense by finding a figurative meaning behind every statement. That's one extreme. But sometimes in reaction to that abuse, we go to the other extreme and we demand exact literalism of everything. And if you do that here, it creates nonsense, or it creates a contradiction. Surely you don't believe there are any contradictions in the Bible. If you are going to insist that one word means one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, just one, then of course you've got a contradiction here. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it's more than one word. You see what I'm saying? I don't think anyone would have stumbled over that particular text. But I find this kind of reasoning employed too often by people who are serious Christians committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and who are upholding the authority and infallibility and inspiration of Scripture, and think that they are defending and honoring the Word of God by demanding the most literal interpretation possible, when that's actually, in many cases, not the best way to honor the author of Scripture. The best way to honor the author of Scripture is to try as best we can to understand what was the thought in mind of the original writer. What did Paul have in mind when he said this? That all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbors yourself. Well, obviously, Paul wasn't of the opinion that the phrase one word means one word, not two or more. He used that word loosely to mean a sentence, a statement, not one word, but one statement, one pronouncement, one quotation. It actually comes from Leviticus 19:18. That's obviously what Paul had in mind, as can be seen in this verse by just reading the rest of the verse. It's not real difficult to see it here, and that's why this becomes a good illustration to make a point. There are other places in Scripture where the meaning is not so readily apparent. You have to view it in light of a larger context than you do here. Here, the context is all in the same verse. It's all in the same text. And the context makes it clear that one word doesn't mean one word. It means one sentence, one statement. In other cases, you're going to have to look a little broader to find the context that will help you understand that the most literal meaning possible is really not the best meaning. So just keep that in mind. That's enough said, and we move on. Now, the object of our love is our neighbor. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. As I say, that statement is found first in Leviticus 19:18. This, therefore, is not a New Testament truth that was not given in the Old Testament. It actually was given in the Old Testament. The Jews took that to mean fellow Jews. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, meaning other members of the nation of Israel. But in that they were mistaken, and Christ made it clear in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 that this statement means your fellow human being, not just your fellow Jew, your fellow countryman. Your neighbor is literally anybody that God brings into your life. As God brought the man attacked by the robbers into the life of the Good Samaritan. Passing by in the road, there he was. God deposited him there. He was not his neighbor in the sense that he was anybody that he'd ever previously met, didn't live in the same community. He was a Samaritan. The man lying by the side of the road was a Jew. The Jews would not have considered them neighbors at all, but this Samaritan acted toward that needy Jew out of love. He loved his neighbor. And what did he do? He acted to meet his needs. That's love. It's an action verb. He acted to meet his needs. We don't know what his emotional state was. We would presume that he had a kindly disposition toward this man, a good emotional feeling, but he might not have. He might have looked at that guy and his first thought might have been, that's a Jew? Jews hate Samaritans? I'm certainly not going to do anything for him. But then he might have had a second thought. I could help him. That would be the decent thing to do. And I can help him without having any strong emotional feeling toward him. I can just do it because it's the right thing to do. So we don't know what his emotional state was. There's just no way of telling. The Bible just doesn't reveal. We can project our own emotional feelings into the situation and make some judgment about what we think the emotions were that were going through his mind. But frankly, there's no way to tell. And it really is not important. The emotional aspect is not the important aspect. The action is the important aspect. He loved his neighbor by doing him good. And that's the point. He loved his neighbor by meeting his need. And so my neighbor, biblically speaking, is not my personal friend, it's not my family, it's not my community, my race, my country, but it's anybody that God brings across my path, including enemies. According to the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5:43, we are to even love our enemies. And how do we do that? We may not feel emotionally warm toward them, but we can help them if they are in need. We can feed them. We can give them water to drink. We can pick them up out of the ditch. We can help them if they are in need. And that's what we are to do. We are to love our neighbor. That is, we are to help our fellow man, whoever they may be, when God brings them and their need into our lives. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.